Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Brought to you today and every day by the law firm Condori and Murad. We're Grant and Danny. They'll take care of important things like elder law, real estate transactions, and probate administration. They've got attorneys that are there to protect you and your family. You got to schedule a consultation with them today. It's a free consultation, and if you mention us, you're going to get a discount on the work they do for you. It's kmlawyers.com. That's where you're going, kmlawyers.com. In 1 hour at 4 o'clock here on G&D, we're giving away Wizards tickets, but right now let's spin you around the NFL with our fastest 16 minutes. And it was a great weekend of football. Where to begin? How about the Falcons and the Panthers? Carolina, a 30-27 winner in Atlanta. Bryce Young, a career day. 448 yards and three touchdown passes. Tech McMillan on pace after a huge game. The rookie receiver, 83 catches, 1,156 yards as a rookie. The pace he's on. Michael Penix re-aggravates a knee injury. He's expected to be out for the rest of the season. Bijan Robinson is on pace for 1,331 rushing yards for Atlanta, but it was the Panthers with a game-winning field goal in OT.
From 28, and Carolina has won.
Drake London banged up and hurt in this game as well. Expected to miss some time. Bryce Young? Listen, they played the Atlanta Falcons. We're now 3-7. So it's not as if, you know, you beat the 2000 Ravens or something. But all of a sudden, that's the best game he's had as a pro. It's 99 Kurt Warner style right there. 448 yards, three touchdowns, look clean, doing NFL quarterback things. You put a couple of those together, you got yourself a football career. Looked like he was down and out the beginning of last year. It hasn't been great this year either, but that was a major step forward for him.
Carolina just one game out of the playoffs.
They're 6-5.
49ers are 7-4 of the last wild card spot right now. And Carolina's got a really friendly 4-2 conference record as well in terms of tiebreakers. Good 1 o'clock window game between a couple of likely playoff teams, the Tampa Bay Bucks and the Buffalo Bills locking horns. Josh Allen, for the second time in his career in this game, was able to throw for three touchdown passes and rush for three touchdown passes. The Bills overcoming three turnovers, averaging 7.8 yards per play in a dynamic offensive performance. The Bucs ran for 202 yards. They led this game in the fourth quarter, and then the Bills took over 80-plus yard touchdown drives, capped by Allen rushing touchdowns, back-to-back to end the game. The Bills have scored 30 points six times, 40 points three times behind reigning MVP Josh Allen.
Second and three. Allen is going to keep it. Josh Allen inside the five. They're going to push him in. Pay dirt. Touchdown, Bills.
Buffalo is 7-3. They are a game and a half behind the New England Patriots in the AFC East. They're the five seed in the playoff picture. That was Ian Eagle on the call. Ca-caw! Ca-caw! the Birdman on CBS.
Two things. One I found infuriating, the other interesting. I had to go up against Tet McMillan, Sean Tucker, Bryce Young in a fantasy matchup this weekend, and I got the doors blown off. Sean Tucker Must Die. That was a dumb movie, and I don't know who that guy is, but he destroyed me, and I'm furious at him.
Who's your running back? Tell us about your fantasy team.
Well, it's not mine. It was the other team, so that's even more interesting.
Who's your tight end? We want to hear more about your fantasy
team. Well, it's Sam LaPorta, and he's injured, so I'm we're in deep trouble. This was Josh Allen MVP stuff. They stopped trying to do the thing where they're like, we're a running team. We're going to take things off Josh Allen's plate. I don't know why that's the accent of the coach. Nope. That's the MVP. That's Superman. Let him do Superman things. And that's what they did. And they put up 44.
The Jaguars beat the Chargers 35-6. Jacksonville, a season best in scoring and the lowest point total they allowed this season in a dominant 29-point win. The Chargers had only 135 net yards. They got outgained by 210 in this game. Bashel Tootin, he a hokey. Toki Altizer steamed up. He and Travis Etienne combined for 147 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns in the game. The Jaguars, only 1 penalty all game long for 5 yards. Jacksonville is 6-4, and they are currently the last wild card team in the AFC. Trevor Lawrence wasn't good, but didn't need to be great in a 29-point win.
How does this thing end? First and goal. Lawrence in, touchdown.
You want to stop embarrassing me, Chargers? Last week, I'm sitting there talking you up. Hey, they're getting healthier. Hey, look at this. They're playing better football lately. Hey, look at this. Oh, my God, you got destroyed. That's the best game the Jaguars played. That's the worst game you've played. They couldn't run. They couldn't throw. They couldn't defend. They couldn't tackle. They didn't get anything right. I'm not sure that anything other than the Monstar stealing their ability and making a weird Space Jam-type sequel is what happened. What a disgusting, terrible display. The Chargers, ew.
Let's go Dateline Minneapolis, where the Chicago Bears were 19-17 winners over the Minnesota Vikings. Don't look now, but they're all alone atop the NFC North after the dud Detroit laid in Philadelphia. Ben Johnson, Chicago Bears are the 3 seed in the NFC.
Ben Johnson alert. Ben Johnson alert.
And it took yet another come-from-behind victory for Chicago. They've got 3 in a row of those where they've been down in the fourth quarter and Caleb Williams and the Bears have come back to win. They ran for 140 yards. Williams was just 16 of 32 passing. By the way, he got credit for a game-winning drive and a fourth quarter comeback when they fell behind. Then they got a kickoff return to midfield, ran the ball 3 times, and kicked the field goal. So kind of a flawed stat, but game-winning drive for Caleb Williams. J.J. McCarthy picked off twice, didn't play well. Minnesota 3 for 11 on third down offensively. The Bears have won 3 in a row and 7 of 8. Cairo Santos walking it off.
Santos puts it up and it is good! The comeback kid, Chicago Bears, do it again!
Kevin Burkhardt on Fox.
So I'm not going to slam the gavel on J.J. McCarthy. That would be irresponsible because it's way too early. But I know where the gavel is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm looking around. I've got all my stuff in order. I'll grab it when it's appropriate because we're still only, what, 5 or 6 games in at this point? But garbage again, despite Kevin O'Connell, Justin Jefferson, and Jordan Addison. I feel like if you have those 3 things, you should just be at least fine. He's dreadful. 16-32, a couple picks against the worst defense this sport has besides Washington and maybe Cincinnati. Ugh, I don't like it so far. Again, not slamming the gavel, but I know where the gavel is.
-15. Completion percentage over expected. Bad outing.
Yep.
A lot of missed throws from McCarthy with multiple takeaways defensively from Chicago again in that game. All right, let's pivot. Another winner in the NFC North, the Green Bay Packers, 27-20. It was a thriller in the Meadowlands. Give the Giants credit. They gave the Pack all they could handle. But in the end, Jordan Love, phenomenal on a game-winning drive, had a terrific touchdown pass to Christian Watson, corner of the end zone with 4:02 to play to take the lead. Josh Jacobs leaves this game with an injury at running back. Malik Willis came on when Love got banged up and went to the locker room in the first half, threw a touchdown pass. Micah Parsons a sack and a half. Brian Burns had a pair of sacks. The Packers, winners over the Giants. Jameis Winston a chance to tie the game late through an interception.
Love and a high snap. Floats it. Watson up top. It is caught! Touchdown, Packers! Green Bay's got the lead!
Adam Amin with the vocal range on Fox.
That's who Green Bay is. Doesn't matter who the opponent is, for the most part. This is kind of what they do. They leave you hanging around. You're in the game, and it takes something dramatic for them to win. They beat a game, a New York Giants team that was frisky, competitive, good for them, kind of maybe a dead cat bounce post-Brian Daboll. But for Green Bay, another win to go 6-3-1. They're very much in the playoff picture, but they still don't look like a very good team.
Steelers looked like one on Sunday.
Yeah.
They pummeled the Bengals 34-12. For Pittsburgh, Aaron Rodgers leaves with a wrist injury, going to miss a little time. Mason Rudolph came on and was solid, 12 of 16 for a $127, threw two touchdown passes. Kenneth Gainwell went off in the game, 7 grabs for 81 yards and a couple of touchdown catches out of the backfield for the running back.
Two of the next three would be Baltimore twice.
Second goal, Gainwell. Breaks the tackle right there of Burks and goes in for 6. His second touchdown reception today.
Kevin Harlan on CBS. Ja'Marr Chase in this game, 3 catches, 10 targets. Also involved in a confrontation we'll talk about later with Jalen Ramsey. Ramsey throws a punch, gets ejected, Deron Payne style. Suspension could be coming. He said Ja'Marr Chase spit on him. Ja'Marr Chase said, no, I didn't. I never spit on him. Then video came out where he pretty clearly spit on
him. Pretty much spit on him, yeah.
So now Ja'Marr Chase is in trouble with the league as well.
And he should be. Pretty clear that it happened just that way. The honeymoon's over with Joe Flacco. This is him kind of turning into the pumpkin. We sort of knew this would come, but the moment when Sam the Eagle for a while was throwing the ball to the two bookend receivers, and they're putting up points. Pittsburgh dominated, and there they are, 6-4.
How about the Texans? Ripped off 5 in a row here. They beat the Titans 16-13. For Houston, Nico Collins is a badass. I love watching that guy play football.
Really good.
9 catches, 92 yards, and a tutty. I thought Cam Ward for the Titans was a lot better in this game. 24 of 37 passing for 194 and a score. Tennessee's defense had 4 sacks. They were in this thing. The game's tied with a second to go. Houston, back-to-back wins with Davis Mills at this point as they've gotten their season back on track. But they got a 35-yard game-winning field goal at the horn from Matthew Wright.
Texans, Matthew Wright for the win, the kick, right down Broadway, through the heart of Nashville, and what a performance.
Chris Myers on the call on Fox.
Relax, Chris. My God. Calm down, please. Buffalo, Colts.
Al Michaels is like, where's this guy's energy?
Yeah, seriously. Why don't you turn it up? Bills at the Colts, at the Chiefs, the next three for Houston. They're 5-2 in their last 7 games to revitalize their season potentially, but offensively just not a lot there. I think they play this Thursday. I think C.J. Stroud has been ruled out of that one. I got to double check, but I think I'm right about that. So, again, the offense just hasn't been there. They have a playoff defense, though. I know the anomaly against Jacksonville happened, but other than that, that's a really good group that has shoved it on people. They just kind of can't keep up offensively.
49ers, 41, 22 victors over the Arizona Cardinals. This game was over right after it started. San Francisco broke the opening kick 99 yards to the 1-yard line. Christian McCaffrey plunges into the end zone. It was 7-0. The 49ers get the ball right back, and Brock Purdy throws a touchdown to George Kittle. They led 14-0 less than 5 minutes in. By the way, Purdy's returned from injury. 3 touchdown passes for him. McCaffrey, 81 on the ground with 2 scores. Kittle caught 2 touchdown passes, including this one, in the early minutes.
Here's Purdy. Looking for it all. He's got Kittle there. It's caught. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Michael Wilson.
Michael Wilson.
8 of 15 catches on 18 targets. 185 yards in this game. So there was no Marvin Harrison Jr.
Uh-huh.
They're down at receiver. 15 for 185. Somebody picked him up in fantasy this weekend and was like, ah, whatever. No Marvin Harrison. And then he won you a game.
Trent McBride, one of the best tight ends in football, 10 for a $115 and a touchdown in this game. As you said, completely overshadowed by Michael Wilson, 15 for a $185. For San Francisco, what a good landing spot. McCaffrey did McCaffrey stuff, 81 yards on the ground, another 40 through the air, 3 total touchdowns. He was sensational. What a great landing spot for Brock Purdy to kind of get his feet back wet. And here's San Francisco with an easy, easy schedule, beating up in Arizona. They got plenty more wins in their schedule to come. They're 7-4.
In this game, Jacoby Brissett's 47 completions were an NFL record.
452 on the day.
Dad just told me, 47 is a record. He was 47 of 57 for 452. That's my guy, Jacoby Brissett. That's my guy.
What a soft spot you have for him.
He is the Rex Grossman to my Kyle Shanahan. Anywhere I go, he comes with me. I love me some Jacoby. Good for him. Losing effort, though. Game of the day on paper turned out to be really good. Seattle Seahawks, LA Rams. Rams improved 8-2. They're the leaders in the division. Seattle falls to 7-3. They're the top wild card team for now. But if you just know that the Rams beat the Seahawks and Sam Darnold threw four picks, I think you'd be misled a little bit. Seattle's defense shoved it on LA. The Seahawks outgained the Rams 414 to 249 in this game. Better in yards per play, dominated time of possession by 15 minutes. The four Darnold interceptions, one of them I think was at the very end of the game. So really it was more like three true picks. But Darnold struggled immensely. That was kind of the story. Otherwise, Seattle played well enough to win. The Rams, though, man oh man, did their defense show up, generate takeaways, two passing touchdowns from Matt Stafford, 7 for 75 from Puka Nacua. L.A. rolling.
Today, offenses have been really sluggish. First and 20, Darnold zips one, and it's his third interception. Kitchens with his second of the day.
T.K. Hernandez with a double. Joe Davis on the call on Fox.
That's the story to me, is Darnold had that Darnold game. The one that you're always kind of afraid of, that's always in the back of your mind, that probably isn't fair, gets ascribed to him. Nobody cares about the 310-yard, three-touchdown game. It's, yeah, see, it's this one, and a major one where he shrunk in that moment, to be frank with you. Seattle still excellent in this game, had a great chance to win it, even with everything that happened. For the Rams, they proved they can win that kind of game, too, where the offense isn't necessarily high-flying and clicking. They won kind of a grimy, grinded-out type game. Where they played excellent defense, and as you mentioned, got a whole mess of takeaways. They only had 12 first downs in this one. That's not very Rams and McVay-like, but they can win that kind too. They are really good, but so are the Seahawks.
Yeah, they couldn't move the ball on Seattle's defense. I'm glad you made the point you did about Darnold too, because everyone was so excited to like throw the party after he had a bad game finally. This is the cool kids club thing that I always talk about. Mahomes has games like this. You know what I mean? Josh Allen, a week ago against Miami, had a game like this. It's just not covered the same way when you're Sam Darnold. And when it's Sam Darnold, see? I told you so. He sucks. When the other guys have it, it's just a good quarterback having a bad game. But I guess there's something to be said for if you're an MVP, you got pelts on the wall, you're in the cool kids club wearing the members-only jacket. But yeah, he certainly did not play at the level Seattle needs him to. Let's talk Browns and Ravens in Cleveland. Baltimore come from behind winners in the fourth quarter. 23-16 final. Derrick Henry, 103 rushing yards and a touchdown. Lamar Jackson wasn't particularly sharp throwing the football. Picked off two times, went for 193. Ravens outscoring Cleveland 13-0 in the second half. In that second half, by the way, Shedeur Sanders comes in at halftime. The Browns did not score the rest of the game. He went 4 of 16 passing for 47 yards with an interception. Also had a second interception in the hands of a defender that was completely dropped. Sacked to end a couple of early drives. Looked like a guy that just hasn't had a lot of time at practice with the first team and who wasn't really prepared for the bright lights of a Baltimore defense that was terrible early but is red hot right now. The Ravens are now 4-0 since their bye week. And how about this? Mark Andrews, on the same day as a tight end that he sets the record for catches by a Ravens receiver, had a rushing touchdown for the first time in his career.
That is Andrews under center on 4th-and-1. Andrews spinning away, and there he goes! Andrews all the way! Touchdown!
Andrew Catalan on the call of a tush push that was faked so that he could wheel around the edge for a big game.
Couple things. Number one, Myles Garrett's incredible. Myles Garrett is incredible. Four sacks in this game to go with a 5-sack game earlier. Again, both in losses because he wanted to chase the championship, but in Cleveland for a lot of money. Leads the league in sacks, leads the league in tackle for loss, among the league leaders in quarterback hits. He is a wrecking crew.
He's got 10 sacks in his last three games.
That dude is unbelievable. And the Andrews touchdown that you just referenced turns out to be the game winner. Set up over multiple weeks. right? They put Lamar Jackson at tailback. They had a play a couple of weeks ago where they gave it to him on kind of a jet sweep on a fourth and short. They had a tush push they've done previously where Andrews takes a snap. They don't want to put Lamar Jackson there. So they have Jackson sprint out to one side. Andrews turned that way. The entire Cleveland Browns defense goes that way. He loops around behind Patrick Ricard, Captain Ricard, if you will, and rumbles to the end zone for what turned out to be the game-winning touchdown. I love good coaching like that. That was awesome.
Maybe the most impressive win of the day. We'll wrap up with the Denver Broncos surviving a scare from Kansas City at home. 22-19. The Broncos come back from down 19-16 in the fourth quarter. Will Lutz drilled a 54-yarder to tie it with 4:10 to go, a 35-yarder to win it at the horn. Bo Nix made some big-boy throws late, went for 295 through the air, outplayed Patrick Mahomes in terms of, you know, not giving the ball away, passing yards. Travis Kelce looked like a playoff version of himself. He was really good, 9 for 91 and a touchdown. But they go toe-to-toe. The Chiefs fall to 5-5. They're 500. They're still not a playoff team. As we barrel down the stretch with 7 to play, and Denver at 9-2 is in the driver's seat in the West.
35 yards, Will Lutz. He's already made 4 today. Lutz in the clutch, and the Broncos have won it.
That's Jim Nance on the call on CBS.
That Broncos defense is Super Bowl good. They are awesome. They are impressive. They cover so well. They get after the passer. I think their gap between the second team in terms of sacks is bigger than the gap between the second team and like the 25th team. I mean, they're going to lap the record for sacks on the season. And it's not as if they got to Pat Mahomes a million times in this game either. They are so good on that side of the ball. And for Kansas City, they looked pedestrian. They looked limited on offense, right? Even though with Rashee Rice, I know they didn't have their usual cadre of running backs, but that was playoff Kelce, to your point. They kind of didn't have that downfield threat. They went to Worthy a couple times, looked to go downfield to Thornton once, and they get that one for 60-plus, but just didn't seem very threatening, didn't seem very intimidating on that side of the ball. And credit to Denver, man. They are 9-2.
Great day of football. Your fastest 16 on Grant and Danny. The Commanders have a new kicker. Matt Gay is out. Jake Moody is in. Did they upgrade, just on paper, going Gay to Moody? That's next.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Double play coming up at 3:45 and at 4 ahead of the Blitz. We're giving away Wizards tickets right here on G&D. You better be listening. Matt Gay was released. Jake Moody was signed. The Commanders have a new kicker. Is this an upgrade? That's the question I've got for people at 800-636-1067. You can tweet us if you'd like to answer that question at Grant H. Paulson and at Funny Danny. If you look at the numbers, like Matt Gay does have a resume that Jake Moody doesn't have. He's been in the league longer, and he's just had more success. Moody's pinballed around the place because he hasn't made enough kicks. And in his career at this point, you're talking about a guy who's made about 76% of his field goals. Matt Gay, toward the end of his career, has struggled, and yet it's still 84%. You say, well, Matt Gay can't make kicks from 50-plus. He's 4-for-9 this season. Last year, he was 3-for-9. Like, you got to be able to make him from 50-plus. Okay, except that Jake Moody, in his career, is 50%, 6-for-12, including being 4-for-9 from 50-plus in 2024. He hasn't tried any since. That's Gay-like.
Yeah.
So I ask you, did they actually upgrade? They got younger. They got cheaper. You've got a guy who hasn't missed a bunch of kicks for you this year. So I'm in on the move. I like moving on from Gay. It wasn't working. I like trying to see if you could catch lightning in a bottle with a former third-round pick who was great at Michigan in Moody. But I cannot make a statistical case based on his resume that he's better than Matt Gay.
No, I don't think at this point that he is. But I think your point is exactly right. In a lost season, this is a potential longer-term answer than another one-year wonder, right? Looking at it, I'm going to draw a very poorly made analogy. But when you watch somebody shoot a basketball, especially like with kids or guys who are growing up, Steph Curry, his shot looks the same, whether it's a free throw, a three-pointer, a logo three, half court, whatever. That's core strength. That just, it's the same fluid release. When you look at certain guys without range, Matt Gay can kick a ball as far as a lot of people on this planet, probably as far as almost every NFL kicker. But when you watch Brandon Aubrey kick one from 60 and Matt Gay kick one from 60, it looks like Matt Gay is ramping up everything he possibly can, is driving it as hard as possible, whereas Brandon Aubrey looks like he's about to fall asleep. Like he's hitting a flop wedge onto the green, and it happens to go 60-plus yards. Moody has that kind of leg. Not like Aubrey. That's a bazooka. That's once in a generation. But Moody has, to me, the track record of having a stronger leg. At least that was the case in Michigan. It hasn't manifested itself in accuracy at the NFL level. But to me, there's upside there where there was no upside with Matt Gay. Does that make sense? Like, you're hoping to squeeze the last couple of drops out of this versus somebody that was a third-round pick at one point because of how talented it looked like he was going to be as a kicker. Maybe he finds it. And if he doesn't, what are you going to do, lose?
Yeah, they're doing what they should be doing.
Yeah.
And I am going to, again, endorse the decision. I think this is the right move. It's the right thing to do. If nothing else, you're a bad team in a lost season, and you went from a kicker about to turn 32 to a guy who's about to turn 26. So you got 6 years younger. And to your point, upside or no upside, you've got a guy who could sustainably be here for 3, 4, 5 years, and that's probably not the case with Matt Gay. So try it for the rest of the year. Cool. By the way, this is the 8th kicker they've brought in here. Now, all of those guys have not actually kicked field goals in games, but they have been overturning every stone and looking as best they can for their kicker of the future unsuccessfully. And so you may as well kick the tires on a guy in Moody who was, again, drafted in the third round because he was considered at one point in time the best kicker coming out in America. If you're wondering about this season, he's 9-for-12 with 3 misses. He missed one field goal against Washington in a 4-for-5 performance. I guess it was a 4-for-5 performance where his only miss was between 40 and 49 on a rainy night in Landover for the Bears, but he hit the game winner that night. So he went 1-for-3 at Seattle with one miss from 30 to 39, And how about a miss from 20 to 20?
The little chip shot. That's what did him in San Francisco.
It had to be a blocked kick. There's no way he missed an actual field goal inside of 30. So I'm guessing it's a block, but he had two misses there. Then he had one miss against Washington. His last game he played, 2-for-2 from 20 to 29, 2-for-2 from 30 to 39, and 4-for-4. So he's made 8 of his last 9 kicks. But this has to be to a Peters comfort thing. In the same way that he goes and gets Javon Kinlaw. Loved him coming out, helped scouting him, drafted him. Debo Samuel comes over from San Francisco. You know, they had that experience together. Robbie Anderson, familiarity. Peters knows the guy, brings him into D.C. Josh Johnson was in San Fran. Drake Jackson was in San Francisco as well with the 49ers. I mean, there are others probably, but just quickly, that, you know, five guys that we came up with who Peters had some experience with. I think that you're there when you scout him. You've seen him kick in practice. You know about the kid. There's a lot of options. I wonder, did you go bring him in here because of his talent in college or because he was a guy that you knew and you could call? Like, which one was it?
Yeah, it could be a little of both, right? Where, again, someone that's 26, that's bounced around a little bit, didn't click immediately with that upside. Again, the it's probably stupid to draft him in the third round, but there's a point here that he was good enough for that consideration. I don't know that anybody else would have drafted him in round three, but someone might have done it in round four or round five. The fact that he's draftable at all as a kicker instead of doing what everybody else normally does, which is go to the free agent pile and find someone you feel good about, there's an upside here, I think, still, that hasn't been reached yet. Whereas I feel like Matt Gay is a finished product. This is it. It's that. It's what we just saw. Pretty good, really good at kickoffs, I think. Extra points and stuff like that. Pretty damn solid. It's going to be good. It's going to be even plus in that regard. Longer kicks, it's just not what everyone else is up to these days. You know, there's too much in this league of guys that are doing this well from 50-plus to sort of say, oh, well, it's not really a strength for us, and sort of have that be enough at this stage. 10 years ago it was, where if you had someone that was good from 46 and in, you go, you know what, that's a strategy. That makes sense for us. We can do that. We can live with that. That's not the case now in the new NFL. And Moody, I think, has a chance to join that group. And if he doesn't right away, I don't think it's that big of a bother.
Let's go to the listener lines. George is in Gaithersburg, wants to hop in on Grant and Danny. What's up, George? How are you?
Thanks. So what do you think of taking a shot on Justin Tucker, having him try out? I believe he's off suspension at the end of the month.
Yeah, his suspension just ended. You could bring him in now for a workout, to my knowledge, and add him to your roster. I don't have interest in Tucker for the remainder of this lost season, but I would actually absolutely bring him in this offseason if Moody doesn't prove himself to be the answer. So if you either get to the end of the year and you're releasing Moody and you're going into the kicker market again, or you just want competition because he was fine but you're not sold, then Tucker would actually be a real option for me in his age 36 season. The reason I say I'm not interested now is because of what we were just talking about with Matt Gay, who's going on 31, 32 years old. He's about to be 36 on November 21st, yep, in 3 days. I am not in the business for the remainder of this year in short-term fixes with veteran players to improve my product minimally for the next 5, 10, 12 minutes, 1, 2, 3 weeks, 2 months. I am in the business of finding answers for the long term. I'm doing that at tight end with more Sinnott, less Ertz. I'm doing it at linebacker with more Medrano and Ali Cajo, you know, less Wagner as the rest of this season goes on. I don't know if they'll do it that way. That's what I'm doing. And I'm doing it at kicker with 25-year-old Jake Moody instead of, you know, 35-year-old Justin Tucker, who's probably not long for a role. But when next year begins, you got $90 million to play with, you got a top-five pick, you're going to have a weaker schedule and hopefully a healthy Jaden Daniels, there's no good reason why they can't be back in the wild card playoff mix right away. They should be next year. And so kicker becomes really important. And if you want to sign a guy like Tucker for a year or two, and if he proves he can be Justin Tucker before last season, because he had a bad year last year, then, yeah, I'm interested in that.
You go back the last 2 years for Tucker. And remember, no sample this year because, as the caller pointed out, suspended. But 7-for-16 on 50-plus. So it used to be this was the weapon. This was this league. He was Brandon Aubrey before Brandon Aubrey. As accurate as anybody in the league, in league history, and was basically going to break his own records each and every season from deep. That kind of went away his last 2 years. Then the suspension hit. And, you know, Baltimore didn't stand by him simply because I think A, the skill set diminished, and B, you know, when you got enough bad press plus a diminished skill set, you know, wash your hands fairly well. So if he proves to you...
You think if he had a great season, he'd still be the kicker of the Ravens?
I think so.
See, I don't... My only argument is I just think kickers... The same way Matt Gay got cut when other guys aren't getting cut after the two missed field goals, it's just so easy to release those guys and move on and try to find somebody else. Now, it's not always easy to replace them and actually find somebody capable, but I think if you're a kicker and those allegations come up by that many women, it's over. They're just not going to go to the mattress for you. You know what I'm saying?
I hear that, but I think there...
See Brandon McManus, by the way.
Yeah, but I think there the fact that he put in enough deposits over 13 years of what was going to be a Hall of Fame career, who knows now how he's viewed, honestly, but this was their special thing, right? They're in Baltimore. From the special teams coach that's now their head coach, that's not now, but has been their head coach for a long time. This was sort of taken on the personality of it, where nobody else cares about field goal kicker, but we do. This is our guy. The skill set, to me, slipped enough where they kind of went, yeah, it's not worth holding on anymore.
I was watching Monday Night Football last night, Raiders-Cowboys, and Daniel Carlson was kicking for the Raiders. He's had his worst year in a long time, but he's one of the better kickers in the league. And I was thinking about Jake Moody. Because Carlson, I believe he went to Alabama, if I remember. But he was drafted in the fifth round by the Vikings years ago. And he was terrible in his early weeks with Minnesota. And I don't even think he lasted more than a few months, and they cut him in season. He signed with the Raiders, and he's never looked back. And so many of these kickers, we know this story here way too well. When Washington's got a guy struggling, and then it becomes David Akers, and he's a kicker for the Eagles for like 12 years. There have been others, Sean Sweezum and Ty Forbath and Graham Gano and, you know, a litany of guys that have come through here and then second, third stop end up being reliable, quality kickers. Maybe they get the other side of the token finally, where the Niners drafted Jake Moody. They went through the growing pains. He bounced around, and then Moody ends up staying on with Washington as the 10-year kicker because what San Francisco saw was real. He just wasn't mentally capable.
You weren't there yet, yeah.
By the way, Auburn, another SEC school, according to Darius, is where Daniel Carlson went. Why do you think kickers that get drafted often do so badly? Because to get drafted as a kicker, you have to be incredible.
The Roberto Aguayo corollary.
Second round.
Yeah.
Jake Moody, third round. Uh-huh. Daniel Carlson, fifth round. Like, more so than undrafted free agent kickers who just hit the ground sprinting like Cam Little in Jacksonville or whatever. These dudes that get drafted so often are terrible. I think it's a pressure thing. Once you get drafted as a kicker,
believe... Has to be, right?
It's got to be this mental, like, oh, I got drafted. I really got to show them how good I am. They use a pick on me, which most teams don't. But it seems like if you're drafted as a kicker, there's a better chance you're not going to do well for that team than you do. The only guy I can remember that had a hell of a career was Sebastian Janikowski, who was a first-round pick, believe it or not.
Should we forget that, or should we always remember that?
Amazing career,
let's
and yet...
always remember that.
Still a gigantic waste of a pick as a kicker in round one. But... how often does that happen?
It feels like a lot. If I knew why, I'd just say, hey, you know, I don't think a kicker should be drafted ever, by the way, just for the record. That's just never the practice I would do. But when there is a correlation at this point between guys that where they spend a pick on you and it doesn't work out for that team. So, like, to me, that's as big a red flag as there is.
We're going to give away Wizards tickets in 20 minutes on The Fan. Our double play is next. You're listening to Grant and Danny.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
We'll take you up to 6:30 tonight on Grant and Danny. You're locked into the Fan. Should let everybody know and remind everyone that we got a field trip Friday coming up, and we are going to be hitting the road and going to Manassas. We're coming your way, Manassas. Our first trip of the year at Uptown Alley. This was a location we hit up a couple times last year.
Yes.
Huge turnouts. Really, really cool venue. We had a blast. They were great to us, and we wanted to go back. So, Manassas, we are coming your way Friday, November 21st, 3 days from now, at Uptown Alley. If you want to see the show live and come hang with us, we will be there.
We had a regular season tilt there, which was a blast. And unfortunately, my guy Jeeps was sick.
That's right.
Before the playoff game, where Tobias, Toki, Funke, Altizer, and I did all sorts of bits before the Detroit Lions playoff game, including having the former then Redskins legend John Jansen on. Where he, I think, what was the phrase he used, Tobes? There's no chance Washington comes up and wins this game. Is that what he said?
Yeah, something like that. He was very defiant, and we kind of laughed about it on Monday.
And we had a grand old time making our predictions, cutting promos, and then they went up and mollywopped Detroit.
What happened
it was
in
great.
That game?
It was so fun.
How good was Jaden Daniels that night?
Pretty good.
I saw a video of the throw he made to De'Ami Brown from that like behind end zone view.
Yep.
You have to have seen the play to know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
But is basically just put your arm, like your elbow up at a 90-degree angle so that your hand, like a throwing motion with a football, is a little higher than your ear. That's where he was, and he just, now just push it forward real fast. That's what he did, and the ball went like 55 yards on a rainbow to De'Ami Brown. It was one of the craziest throws I've ever seen. And they beat the Detroit Lions.
And at the very end, by the way, De'Ami Brown had a defender draped on him. It was basically blindfolding him. But he couldn't help but catch it because the ball was perfect. Like, his hands were there, and it just hit him right in the hands.
Everything was coming up Commanders.
God, it was amazing.
During that run.
All those turnovers from Jared Goff.
Zane Gonzalez hit an upright, and it went in for some reason. Like, that was fun to beat the Bucs, remember?
Yeah.
People still will occasionally, they'll point out with what's going on in New England, like, oh, they're this year's Washington. The Commanders never beat anybody last year. And in the regular season, that's kind of true. But are you forgetting that they went to Tampa and won in the playoffs? And then beat the number one seed Lions. They didn't just beat them. They destroyed them on the road in the playoffs. Does it really matter if you didn't beat anyone in the regular season if you won two playoff games and both of them were on the road against really, really good teams? That's why I don't love this whole, like, last year was completely inauthentic thing. Sure, it was a bit of a fluke regular season. The schedule was very fortuitous. They got really lucky. And then you got the best shot of the Bucs at home, a team that blew you out in the regular season, and you beat them. And you got the best shot of Detroit. Yeah, they were really banged up. Sorry about your luck. I mean, you leave there a winner in the playoff as well.
Indeed.
The clock eventually struck midnight in the NFC Championship game. But we don't need to talk about
That's not what's on the table right now. We're not talking about that.
Time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Quick reminder, we're giving away Wizards tickets in 10 minutes.
A false start on me. I didn't know the snap count. Veteran day off for me. Give me a Zach Ertz day off, please.
Call him Danny Ertz.
And now I got a false start.
Now you got a false
now
start.
Now he's going to false
Illegal
start.
Illegal procedure, microphone off. Oh, the whole segment's botched. Our red zone drive pummeled because I don't know the snap count.
So if you're Zach Ertz and you jump in and you didn't know the snap count.
Grant Connerly.
But then I commit a penalty right after.
Yeah.
What was that, a hold? I think it was an illegal procedure. That's
the tight end wasn't covered up.
Yeah.
That's you. Just the Ryan Grant lineup in the wrong spot.
Grant Yankoff.
Mm.
Tough.
Golly, what a bad sequence for
that's
us.
That's a tough one, by the way. Maybe I could have picked a different tight end. We'll go with Grant Sinnott.
Thank you.
Probably sounds a little bit better.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we've had a couple of verbal things over the last hour or so where we're like, man, that sounds a little tough. I mean, it's factual information, but you're just naming real people.
His name is Colson Yankoff.
That's his name.
He chose the name. I didn't.
Not the last name. He was kind of, I guess he didn't choose any of it.
No, he's
just a guy. His parents named him.
All he did was just get born one time.
Yeah. Yeah. And then forever.
What do you got for your double play?
Anyway, a week from tomorrow, Volume 1 of the final season of Stranger Things comes out.
Oh, thank God.
You should. It's one of the great shows of all time. The difficult thing, though, that I think I know that those of us that consume media, instead of like a couple whodunit mysteries once a month and ignore recommendations from lifelong friends over the years, the difficult thing is it's been so long since the last time. And they're splitting this up into three different final season installments. Just a massive, massive, massive undertaking trying to bring all this stuff together. The show is brilliantly done, of course. One of the great programs ever invented by anybody. The Duffer Brothers are super geniuses. While seamlessly weaving 1980s, early 90s kind of nostalgia stuff from their childhood into this fantasy, horror, kind of real life application type stuff. Brilliantly done. So, so good. But they're going to try to tie it all up with these massive, mega, enormous episodes. Each one is like a big budget movie from where the show started. It's kind of amazing, but it's very, very busy. So what I've had to do to get ready for it is to sort of go back. You can't watch every episode again and feel the same things because that's not really what it's about. But I'm reading recaps just to remind myself of where everybody is and what they were doing and kind of what's at stake. Big plot points, of course, I know, GP. But a week from tomorrow, the first installment of the final season of Stranger Things comes out.
So I actually have an ignorant question about Stranger Things.
Yes.
I really don't know how this works. So this show began with them all as kids. And the girl who had the buzz cut, who
11.
Comes out of the restaurant, mm-hmm. who's a number, not a name.
Yep, Millie Bobby Brown.
Yes. She's now a grown-up 20-something-year-old, very attractive person who's a mother of a child. She's married to John Bon Jovi's son in real life, this girl.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So she's married to Jake Bon Jovi, and they had a kid, and I don't know how old she is, but she's very pretty, and she's no longer a young person. Is she still a part of the show as this character?
Yeah, so they've all grown.
As this now, like, long-haired blonde?
Yeah, so they've
how
all...
does that even work?
Well, it just, the show was adopted over the years.
But most shows don't do that. I mean, you don't have a kid who's, like, 8, and the thing is, like, oh, you're this weird little kid, and now you're just a mom who's walking around.
Well, sometimes
how do they write that?
Yeah, shows like Lost, where they had a kid named Walt who was essential on the show, and they were just like, yep, he's too old now, and they just had him leave. And he was like the center of the show. His visions and his things were like so important, and then they were just like, yeah, he's too old now. So they just said, pound sand, and then he went away, and they never resolved the plot line, which is and not something I'm bitter about still to this day. But they're still playing teenagers and older kids, but yeah, with the idea that they're now, hey, this has been going on for 10 years or whatever it is, and they're older.
I almost called her Mary Lou Retton, which is definitely not
the
her
gymnast,
name.
Yeah. The gymnast is in the show.
The three-named person.
Carrie Strug.
No, the person we were just talking about.
Oh, Dominic Doss.
Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
She's playing a teenager?
I think so.
No.
Yeah, I mean.
That's not going to work.
It's pretty reasonable.
That reasonable.
On 90210, they were in their 30s when they were playing teenagers in high school.
Understood.
That's pretty normal.
Yeah. She's not a teenager.
I'm not accusing her of being a teenager.
Yeah.
But you could do some things, and they're going to do them. Don't you worry a little head
you know
about
what?
That. They'll be just fine.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because I won't be watching.
Yeah, they'll be just fine.
Have a good time.
Yeah, they'll be just fine. But, yeah, so the evolution and arc of it, and the thing that they've done so brilliantly, but there's a million things they've done brilliantly.
Keep adding episodes.
Well, yeah, because, again, they keep putting out incredible content.
Right.
But they've put so many Easter eggs in. So many different little things where you go back and now notice that there were hints kind of throughout that of where they were going that you
I
never would have
that
known.
Bit.
It is And I love scout. It's one of the great things about the show is that you can scour every Reddit theme, every brilliant person that found. If you freeze frame here, it's the same time that E.T. went airborne in the movie on a certain episode, or that's the same time that in Firestarter, starring Drew Barrymore, which is kind of the impetus for this 11 character. This is what happened to her in this one, and this is Freddy Krueger did this in this episode. It's so brilliant and so good, but now everyone's going back and looking at the beginning stuff.
So true story, completely true story. I think I watched 6 minutes of the pilot episode once, and I was like, nope.
Yeah, it's not for you. Couldn't be less for you.
But the moment I found out that there was a character named Eleven, nothing could happen to make me watch that show. Like, that's just how my brain works. So I was like, wait, what's the character's name? Danny was like, Eleven came out of the diner. And I'm like, never, ever, ever, ever in a million years.
Right. It's not a real name, but she was an experiment, and there was a number of kids, right. And they just called her number 11.
But you're just wasting your time.
Yeah.
Is her name 11?
Right.
Like, when I look up IMDb, her name's 11? My name is out. You see what I'm saying?
Like, I do.
Never for me.
Which is adorable, because it's awesome, because we get the content and you get nothing. But yeah, I love that trips you up. But, like, you love movies where, like, there's a little space rock that if you wish something, it just happens. You're like, I'm fine with that. I can do that.
What movie is that?
Infinity War. I got a green one that can turn back time. That's fine for you, but a girl that's been experimented on that lost her identity. You can't, that's a bridge too far.
Nobody's name is 11 in the.
I guess not her given name. Avengers. It's not her real name.
The Beltway Blitz comes your way next. We're giving away Wizards tickets as soon as we return on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17 point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.